how to be yo, how to be the true you, the true me. So last Christmas, we went to Disneyland. It was a great day. And I bought a autograph book. Now, not for autographs, but I bought it because I like the combination of pictures and then places to write or to have someone sign their autograph. But I bought it so that I could write down the times this year where I was a true me, not the compliant, amiable, agreeable me, which is not a very good person to be. One of the things that I've noticed is that I have become very agreeable, compliant, amiable, which are things that I can't stand. Sometimes you have to be, of course, diplomatic, always kind, and not be an eye for an eye person. But I think I know that I go too far the other way out of all bad habits, mostly fear and stuff like that and failure and whatever. So I began to write. So I want to go over some of these things that are pretty interesting. Maybe they can help you in your journey to become the true you, become the authentic you. So in December of last year, I wrote a song called You Came Down. It was an Advent song, and I performed it at the Christmas concert. And you could say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it wasn't easy because there was no room. I had been... Some criticism had happened on my last song that I wrote and sang, and I was a little hesitant, too compliant, too amiable. Sorry about the lawn guy back there, if you can hear it. Too compliant. Instead of giving in to all those fears, I knew there was room. I said, I'll do my song. I didn't do just Silent Night. I did my song that I wrote, and it was a beautiful success. People loved it to this day. Just last week, someone said, that song, I'm still thinking about it, how beautiful it was. What else here? It says here, I did a beat for another song. So yeah, same thing. I think it was that same month, Christmas time. I think it was the kids or some sort of kids choir did Your Way's Better, the Frank Forrest song, Forrest Frank song. Instead of using the actual track, I make beats. But it is somewhat complicated to play a beat live. You have to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I did it. I thought, nope, I'm going to make my own beat. I know it's going to sound amazing, and I'm going to play it live. And I did, and the kids loved it, and the whole room was happy. It was a great day. Let's see. Talked about lights. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is about lights, something. And then what's the last one here? Oh, yeah, move the keyboard. Yeah, we had a thing where someone moved the keyboard, and instead of me just usually just putting it back and not saying anything to the person who moved it, who shouldn't have done it, or at least put it back, instead I said, hey, please put the keyboard back. And they weren't happy, but I didn't give in, wasn't compliant, didn't just say, okay, we'll forget it. I stood strong. I held court, or frame, as they say, and hopefully it'll happen. So those are just some examples, maybe, whatever, some examples, and I hope to have more. But the point is, the value, like I said, of always, yeah, turning the other cheek, but also being firm and being truthful and honest, and not, in Spanish we say manso, not menso, kind, not dumb, I guess would be a way to translate that. And maybe you feel like you're often being stepped on, and maybe I can recommend something like an autograph book or something where you can begin to track the times when you're compliant and you shouldn't have been. Like something happened to me last week when I was compliant and it was just lame. I shouldn't have been compliant. Maybe write those down. That could be depressing, right? You could have like 50 of those for every one time that you were not compliant. But I don't know, keep track and begin to celebrate the times where you were firm and just and fair. And you spoke up to begin to develop that muscle. Now, the thing that I've learned is the goal isn't to win. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you compromise. Sometimes You lose. Maybe it was on you. Maybe you moved the keyboard and you forgot. But the point isn't to win or to even, to injure somebody, meaning the relationship, because those could be the fears. The point is to be yourself, to be authentically you, like this podcast talks about, being yourself. Not mean, but not dumb, meaning in terms of the Spanish word, menso. To be authentically you, to show up in the world, to be present, not perfect. Now, what keeps me from being present or speaking up? Fear, 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 fear. What are they going to say? Am I going to get in trouble? I don't belong. I'm not strong enough. I'm going to say it and be nervous. They're going to have a better comeback. I'm not going to be able to come back to their comeback. All that stuff. Things that have happened before. But I am overcoming all those concerns or all those obstacles and doing it anyway because I need to develop that muscle. So I share that because I wonder if maybe some of you out there have a hard time being bold, truthful, being present. I work at a church and school, and teachers seems to me, are very non-compliant. Now, some are. But it seems like teachers or schools tend to draw more bold women, mostly women. And so I don't see a lot of compliant teachers, although there are some. It's a personality thing. It's not a job thing. It's just, again, personality and conflict style. I have all these books on conflict resolution. I just bought one yesterday. Something about, the Enneagram and conflict. And what I've read so far is, I guess, understanding that there are, I think, four types of conflict resolutions or conflict people, or four ways in which people resolve conflict. And I forget them. I just read this last night, but I think it was something like, agreeableness and frustration. And also it talks about what triggers you. Are you triggered by performance? Are you triggered by dates or deadlines? Are you triggered by relationship? I think those are at least the three. I've realized that I'm triggered by relationship. When I feel like the relationship is going to suffer, then I don't confront. Other people think more of it as, no, this is a process problem, so we have to resolve it. Other people are deadline. Other people, are relationship driven. And so triggers are important to know yourself. Another thing that the book said is to see it as, like, when two people are, let's say, at work, and they give the example of the new vice president is the owner's son, but he's late and he's young, inexperienced. And so what do you do? Some people are kissing up to him, other people are resenting him behind the scenes, gossiping, all that stuff. Water cooler. And so it was saying how you have to know your temperament, you have to know yourself, you have to know what triggers you, because maybe what triggers you is that you're mad that that person got the job to begin with. But the recommendation was to see it, that the best way is to see it as problems, not people. So even though what you feel, because we're emotional beings and the frontal cortex turns off, and when you're in fight or flight, we all just fall apart. What Betty may think of Neo Baby, as they call him, is he this and he that, and it's personal. Another person would see it as the problem is late reports, late arrivals, and not performing. So you talk to that person, or you talk to the boss about the performance, not the person. But as I said, we're very emotional beings, and when I think of the conflicts that I've had, I think of the person. And when I know that someone is criticizing me, they're thinking of me as a person. But the higher way to do this, or the best way, maybe the biblical way, you could say, is to think of it as the problem or the project. And how can you and I both fix the problem? It's what I remember in counseling. I remember our counselor, I think it was before we got married, or maybe it was after we went to counseling, before and after. I think it was before. They threw a pillow between us and they said, okay, go fix the problem. And we said, what do you mean? But we're talking about how to, are we going to live in a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom and pay $500 or $2,000? And she wants this and he wants that. So she said, no, look at the pillow. Now you both fix the problem. And the pillow is, what can we afford? How much do we make? What other expenses do we have? The pillow is impersonal, is the project. And my wife and I, we are the people. We're not against each other. We're not each other's enemies. We're both here to solve the problem. Easier said than done, right? Because again, the reptile mind, fight or flight gets triggered, and forget it. We turn against our own brother and mother, much less a roommate or a friend or a coworker. So these are things that you have to practice in the lab, at home, in the car, in prayer, with Jesus, confessing all of your reptile and my sins and regrets and habits. Hangups. And so you have to say, Lord, forgive me. Betty, forgive me. Kids, sons, forgive me. And then to not be compliant. Now, what's the advantage of being compliant and collaborative? Because that is one of the conflict approaches, conflict resolution approaches. If you are compliant or more of a collaborator, what's the good in that? Well, obviously, you're going to be liked. You're going to win. You're going to move the ball downfield. You're going to get things done. But what if the system doesn't really reward collaboration, or doesn't celebrate or encourage collaboration? They encourage lone rangers and silos, and it's all on you. You have to play, as my mom says, catcher, first base, second base, third base, everything, and pitch and get the water cooler and drive the van home. Well, then, yeah, you're stuck. Collaborators aren't going to be valued more than the all hands on deck and hitting it out of the park people that are lone rangers and individualists. So as you think of how to be the true version of yourself, the best version of yourself, think about the balance between compliance and showing up as the true you. Maybe make a list or get a autograph book, 2026, or something that works for you, and write down the times that you're being compliant when you know you shouldn't have been, versus the times where you knew to step up and you did. My commitment and my prayer for you today is that we would be always wise as serpents and gentle as doves, that we would turn the other cheek and we would turn tables upside down in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next time. If you'd like my coaching, please follow me on Instagram at David Trigg, or email me, Trigg@DavidTrigg.com, or go to my website, DavidTrigg.com. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you next time. Adios.